The next item on the agenda is Wolfden Mount Chase LLC. And Stacy Byers is going to start with a presentation and a recommendation of the staff. We're then going to hear from the attorney Brown from Wolfden. And following that, we can have a discussion and then make some decisions. Stacy?
Good morning. I'm going to try to share my screen for the presentation. So can everyone see the presentation slide?
Yes.
Yes, visible. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
So good morning. My name is Stacy Byer and currently the planning manager for the Land Use Planning Commission. This agenda item relates to the Wolfden rezoning petition ZP-779. For background, Wolfden Mount Chase LLC filed a petition in January of 2020 to rezone land they own in T6 R6 Wells to a planned development or DPD subdistrict. The zoning would allow for development of the Picket Mountain Metallic Mineral Mine. The project site is located north of Patton and Mount Chase, off from State Route 11 in northern Penobscot County. It's this green parcel shown on the map. This is the current proposal from Wolfden. It's relatively similar to past proposals. A primary difference with this plan is that most of the development has been moved out of an area with soils that are not suitable for development, which is generally in this area. Whoop. Sorry about that. That's generally in this area of the site. It's an important reminder to note that rezonings for most subdistricts and those for the planned development subdistrict are different. DPDs are custom subdistricts that are tied to a specific development and development plan. The subdistrict allows for development in areas where the commission would not typically allow for development if the development is a well-planned, high-quality development, dependent on a particular natural feature. If after creation of a DPD subdistrict, the project tied to that zone does not move forward, the zone can't be used for any other development. The site would have to be rezoned by the commission again. Since the original petition was filed, LUPC staff have been working with Wolfden to obtain the information necessary for the commission to make findings and conclusions on the petition as required by state law and the commission's rules. Key steps in the administrative history include an email request for information, followed by three letters requesting additional information in early 2020. A third version of the petition was filed on July 1st of 2020. If you recall, the commission considered an August 2020 letter from Wolfden requesting that the commission exclude subjects addressed in the DEP's Chapter 200 rules from its review of the petition. The commission at that time supported staff's request for additional information. The petition was accepted as complete for processing in September of 2020. Then the staff sent out two additional letters requesting information in September of 2020 and February of 2021. We have generally held bi-weekly meetings with Wolfden, during which staff has emphasized the need for Wolfden to ensure its next submission was internally consistent and presented credible evidence to support its arguments. The fourth version of the petition was filed on September 1st. In reviewing the latest version of the petition, staff found numerous inconsistencies, errors, and omissions. and that a significant amount of information is still needed to address key concerns. Wolfden initially stated that inconsistencies in the petition are few and minor. Staff agree that some are minor, but others are not. What is documented in the record is a persistent pattern of inconsistencies, errors, and omissions. We believe that there are two options for moving forward on the petition. The first option would be to place the petition on hold and have staff draft another letter requesting additional information. The second option is to deny the petition without further proceedings. Wolfden has requested that the commission place the petition on hold. The petition has been on and off hold several times over the past 18 months. And the record for the petition is extensive and confusing. Is an option, but staff believe that would necessarily involve doing a more thorough analysis of the petition and drafting another substantive letter that includes not only the errors, inconsistencies, and omissions already identified, but also the numerous questions we have related to the merits of the petition. Based on the current state of the petition, staff has no reason to believe that we will get a new version of the petition from the current Wolfden team that is accurate, consistent, and convincing after we put in that additional work. We also believe that applying the new higher standard for completeness in the Chapter 4 rules, should we end this petition process and a new petition be filed, may be helpful in ensuring a more efficient process if the pattern of deficiencies continues. Wolfden argues that there is a perception of inconsistencies or errors in the petition. I'd like to share a few examples of what we found. The petition includes inconsistencies on the number of employees, which has significant implications for several exhibits in the petition. 263 workers, 130 full-time workers, a workforce of 60 people. There are inconsistencies in the acres to be rezoned, which will be confusing to review agencies, contractors, and the public. 600 acres, 528 acres, 645.9 acres, 646 acres, 528 acres. There are errors of reference. For example, a narrative relating to hydrology references a table in the socioeconomic assessment. Staff were unable to find the reference table on hydrology that we feel is critical to the understanding of Wolfden's arguments. After all of our requests for information, we still need more information on soil suitability. Eighteen of the omissions that we have identified in the petition are items that the LUPC staff requested in its February 2021 letter, but were not submitted. And yet, Wolfden submitted a letter with their petition indicating that all of the items were submitted and provided a specific reference as to which exhibits the items could be found in. I'm going to move on to the next argument from Wolfden, but if there's any questions, I can't see hands, so please somebody let me know and I'd be happy to stop and answer any questions. Wolfden argues that there's no legal basis for denial and they haven't had the opportunity to respond to the deficiencies in the petition. Staff has provided opportunity for Wolfden to respond to questions and address inconsistencies, errors, and omissions over the 18-month process. The facts in this case are nothing like anything else staff has seen before. We believe there is a sufficient legal basis to move forward to denial. Key criteria that we'd like to point out to the commission include Chapter 12, which governs our review of rezonings for metallic mineral mine DPD subdistricts. That rule requires a public hearing be held prior to approving a DPD subdistrict. Chapter 10, Section 5 establishes the applicant's burden of proof. Chapter 4, Section 4.03 states that even if a petition is accepted as complete for processing, the commission may deny the petition for failure to provide information necessary to enable the commission to make the necessary findings under applicable review criteria. Later, that same section of Chapter 4 states that if the applicant or petitioner materially revises the application and the revised application requires new or supplemental review by the commission, then the commission may, if there's insufficient time to make the findings and conclusions required by law within the deadline set forth in the statute, deny the petition. Staff have considered the history of the petition, the deficiencies of the September 2021 version of the petition, and Wolfden's response time for the February 2021 letter. Based on these factors, staff have determined it is highly unlikely that the current Wolfden team will be able to provide information sufficient to meet its burden of proof, such that the commission could make, within applicable statutory and regulatory deadlines, the findings and conclusions required by law to approve the petition. We recognize that Chapter 12 does require a public hearing. The intent is for that hearing to assist the commission in reaching a decision based on the merits of the case. Given its current state, staff believe the petition isn't ready for review based on its merits. Chapter 4, Section 403 is relevant at this point in the process. The hearing would not assist the commission in reaching the decision. It would necessarily focus on the errors, inconsistencies, and omissions in the petition of which the commission is already aware. This is not where the staff wanted to be at this point in the process, and we don't take this recommendation lightly. However, the applicant has had sufficient time to address concerns. The state of the petition precludes meaningful feedback from the agencies and contractors, and further proceedings place a significant burden on LUPC staff resources. Therefore, staff recommends that the commission direct staff to draft the denial of ZP 779 for the commission's consideration based on Wolfden's continued failure to provide sufficient information for review. I would be happy to answer any questions.
Gwen?
Stacy, When you've asked for information and then you don't get it, what is the applicant's response to why you haven't gotten it? Or do they just not respond?
At this point, they just haven't responded. For the most part, what we've heard from them is they think they have, and we disagree. With that position, that they have not provided the information, and I think that the record supports that.
Lee? Lee Smith, you had your hand up.
Sorry, I didn't unmute. What is the statutory deadline for this petition?
There's two applicable statutory deadlines. One is within 45 days of receiving a petition, the commission is supposed to schedule a public hearing. So as soon as we received that petition, it's our opinion that we should have begun scheduling a public hearing, but we don't feel that the petition is ready for a hearing on the merits. There's also a statutory deadline that as soon as the hearing closes and the comment period is closed, the commission has 90 days to make a decision on the petition.
All right, another question with regard to timing. If this is denied, then they would have to resubmit all over again, and how would that affect timing?
Sure. If this denied, it would stop the processing for this petition. So there would not be a time frame associated with the petition any longer. And what that would mean is there are provisions in our rules that allow for a commission for an applicant or petitioner to reapply, but they would have to show that there's a substantial change in circumstances in order to do that. They could not reapply for the exact same project in the exact same manner in which they had proposed in this petition.
Doesn't that imply then that we rejected it not because of inconsistencies, but because there's a problem with the project?
Our recommendation is that we don't make a decision on the merits of the case. We don't feel we're ready for that. The recommendation is to make a decision back based on the fact that there is not sufficient information to meet the burden of proof. So that would be consistent with Chapter 4, Section 4.03, that allows the commission to deny if there isn't sufficient information to meet their burden of proof.
But again, we say they haven't met their burden of proof, but they can't reapply and make a better case for the same project. They have to do something different with the project. Is that right?
Well, making a better case, we would have to look at the individual circumstances at that time, but providing a different team of people and making a different case could maybe be considered by the commission as a change in circumstances.
Thank you.
I think Bill Moore surfaced. You have a question, Bill?
I do, Everett. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I thank you for the prior comments, Stacy. A couple of those questions that I had was answered by you, asked by Lee, so I don't need to go back there. But I think that this staff has done a commendable job in chasing this project forward, trying to get it to a decision-making process. And I do commend you for all the work that you've put into it. On the flip side, I know it's a big project. We did a site visit up there, and it was obviously going to be quite a project from what we saw on that site visit. I wonder if there's any opportunity or any rationale behind giving them a time certain date to either provide the full information that we have expected to receive and as yet have not received. And I'm thinking about running this out to the first of the year, but I don't want to drag something on that should have been dealt with earlier on, or we wouldn't be having this discussion today. So just fuel for thought. I know it's an important project to some, certainly for the economic equation in that neck of the woods, and I can appreciate that, but they've had time enough to provide us with what was asked for, I would assume. And if there's a debate about what we did receive or should have received and haven't received, and it still needs to be further investigated, I'd certainly support giving them a month or so. But beyond that, yeah. I need to move on.
In my opinion, with all due respect, Bill, a month will not do it. There are so many discrepancies in this petition. It's going to take months for them. I personally think that they would need to completely rewrite the petition to make a credible, convincing case. And our concern, we've looked at four different versions of this petition. Between the third version and the fourth version, we made staff resources available every 2 weeks to help them answer the questions that we have. And we still ended up with a petition that had 59 errors, omissions, and inconsistencies in it. And 17, 18 of those were not responsive to our questions. So staff's lost confidence in the ability of this team, the Wolf Den team, to provide a petition that's accurate and consistent.
Thank you, and I understand that. Thank you very much.
I've got three people's hands up, but I'm gonna go to Jim because that's the only one I can see, but I know there's two more of you that wanna speak. Jim, go ahead.
Yes, I would make a motion to accept the staff's recommendation.
Second.
Before we move on with that, I want to get everybody's questions in, and then I want to give the attorney an opportunity to address it. Okay?
Everett, the other two are Peter Prey and Millard Billings.
Thank you. Peter, why don't you go?
Hey, Stacy, I realize that a lot of work has gone into it, but if the team that is giving you the material was to change, could we continue from this point on?
We haven't received any information from the applicant or the petitioner at this point that they would be willing or they're committed to doing that and having a new team. We really feel like that the record before the commission right now is so large and confusing with all the different versions of the petition, all of the additional information that we've submitted, that they've submitted, that it really would make sense to end this process and start anew with a new team, a new petition, and see if we can move this forward.
Thank you.
Dylan?
Thank you, Everett. I was raised my hand because I wanted to make a motion to deny the application because all I feel that this is dragged on forever and that this applicant and all future applicants need to understand the seriousness of requests from the staff for information. And if they don't provide the information to the staff and answer 59 inconsistencies, errors, and omissions, there is no reason but to deny it. Thank you.
Anyone
Everett,
else?
I have an additional question.
All right, Lee.
All right, this may not change anything of what staff has said or how we might vote, but and maybe a more appropriate question for the Wolfton people, but their letter says that if the petition were on hold, they would do an analysis of alternative locations. And it's unclear to me what that has to do with anything. Do you guys know, or do you think that that is also irrelevant?
No, I can answer that one, Lee. Once we started reviewing the petition and found that we were faced with a number of errors and inconsistencies, our focus on that petition turned to trying to get a full picture of what that looked like. In the process, we also did some of the analysis in different sections of the petition, and we have conveyed to Wolfden that we are going to, in addition to all the errors and inconsistencies that need to be addressed, we're going to have additional questions about certain key aspects of the proposal, one of which is the alternatives analysis. In our initial review of this petition, we felt that it was not credible and convincing. So that's one of the other reasons why we've suggested that putting the petition on hold is not the best option. We would need to, if the petition goes on hold, we feel like we would really need to sit down and spend a lot more time with the petition and make another new list of all the questions that we have beyond what's already in the spreadsheet. So it's going to take some time, but there are the key aspects and key concerns with this petition that we would have additional questions on, one of which would be the site alternatives analysis that they prepared.
Thank you.
Gwen?
I guess I agree with Millard on supporting the staff's recommendation of denying the project. I have never seen anything like this before where an applicant, at least to my awareness, was seemingly so uncooperative with the staff. It almost doesn't even make sense if indeed they're hoping to get their application approved. And I just think at this point, I can totally understand why the staff doesn't have any confidence in moving forward with the application as it stands. I find it quite amazing, striking.
And I remember early on warning them that they needed to answer the staff's questions. There was no dodging them if they expected to get a permit. change. If there are no more comments or questions, I'd like to let Attorney Brown address the group. She represents Wolfton.
Just want to make sure, this is Judy Everett. I still see Peter Prey's hand up. Peter, is that something new?
Peter?
Okay. Thanks.
My hand is down.
Thank you. It was getting tired, no doubt. Attorney Brown?
That it was.
Good morning, members of the commission and chair. Juliet Brown, attorney for Wolfton. Thank you for the opportunity. At the outset, let me just say I have the utmost respect for the commission staff and the work they've done on this and the review they've undertaken. I fundamentally take issue with the characterization of Wolfton's responsiveness. Wolfton has worked very hard and in good faith to provide responsive filings to everything that has been asked for. We obviously disagree on what's in the record, and I don't think it would be particularly productive at this point to go back and forth. I will say, since staff brought up the question of the number of employees, for example, both numbers are correct. There are 133 employees daily. But in this business, the majority of those employees work 7 days on, 7 days off, which is why there's a total number of employees of 263. We do agree with staff that it would not be productive at this juncture to move toward a public hearing. We do agree with staff, and we have discussed this, that we believe a fundamental reset would be productive. And we've committed to working with a Maine-based third-party consultant to prepare the application, somebody that is more familiar with the unique commission rezoning process and can present the petition in a way that is more consistent with what commission staff would expect to see. The reason we're requesting a hold or a suspension, and we're not requesting that staff do additional work. What we're requesting is that there be a complete break, suspend review of the petition, and allow the applicant to go back and address three really substantive areas and come back with an amended petition. And those three areas, it was brought up, one of them is to look at alternative locations for some components of the project. This would be the concentrator and the dry stack tailings facility, both of which have resulted in significant detailed questions. We did, in response to staff's prior requests, look at four alternative locations, including an alternative location in the property owned by Wolfton, location in Millinocket, location in Pembroke, and a location in across the border in Canada. One of the things we would do is go back and take a harder look at these locations and potentially other locations. And it would potentially result in a much smaller project in that those two key elements would be removed from the rezoning petition if they were located elsewhere. And it would also allow potentially for those two project components to not have to go through a rezoning process without the benefit of the full Chapter 200 surveys and data analysis that would occur. I will say there are sort of three factors that make this a particularly and I think uniquely challenging process. The first is that this is a new type of development in Maine. We are applying the new statute, the new Chapter 200 DEP mining regs, the new Commission Chapter 12 rezoning regs for the first time. There is no roadmap on what's required to demonstrate compliance with those standards. So that is a unique challenge associated with this process. The second is that it's an example of where the commission is doing the rezoning and DEP is doing the permitting. I think that creates challenges for the commission and it creates challenges for the applicant. because the commission doesn't have the benefit of knowing that the final design will come back to the commission for its review and input. And then the third aspect is that the way the regulatory structure is set up is that DEP, pursuant to Chapter 200, does the permitting. And as part of that process, there will be 2 years of baseline surveys and a feasibility analysis that will result in a final design of the project. That hasn't occurred yet. That will be a public process. There will be public input. There will be agency review and input, agency feedback on the results of those studies. And it is particularly challenging to go through a rezoning process in which we're being asked for quite detailed information without the benefit of that final design and without the benefit of those baseline surveys and studies. We have, in good faith, tried to respond to those questions, and we fully understand that the commission needs sufficient information to make its findings. But it results in having to make assumptions and having to present information that is detailed without the benefit of the final design. So those are sort of structural reasons that make this particularly challenging. I think the reason that suspending further review and letting the applicant, the other thing the applicant would do during this period of suspension, in addition to looking at alternatives, would be to conduct additional studies concerning the water treatment process. That is an issue that has come up, and I think, for example, there are real-life examples of similar facilities that treat but not identical to what will be treated here. We've provided a manufacturer guarantee that the plant will function as intended. I think that is one area that staff has expressed frustration on, and we're in the process of conducting some studies that would demonstrate the efficacy of that ability to treat water to better, equal to or better than background levels. And then the third area would be to, you know, do a total reset of the petition using a Maine based consultant familiar with the LUPC process. The reason that I think that this makes more sense, first of all, I will say that denying the project at this stage, in my opinion, is unprecedented. We hear the frustration of staff, and we are fully committed to addressing those concerns. To deny a petition without even reviewing the substance of what's in it, without a public hearing, is unprecedented in my opinion. And as you've heard, you know, whether you call it a decision on the merits, it is final agency action and has all the implications of final agency action and sends a pretty unmistakable message that the negative message about the possibility of anybody proposing a mine in the jurisdiction. As I said, I respect staff. We own the areas that they have expressed frustration in. We are fully committed to a process going forward in which those issues are addressed. There is a precedent for the commission suspending review of applications in the Highland Wind Project. They suspended review to allow the applicant to address a right title and interest concern in the application. And I think fundamental fairness, you know, this petitioner has made a substantial investment in the state, is proposing a state-of-the-art mine that we all rely on these minerals. We're all happy to have them extracted and mined in areas that we don't have to think about, using techniques we don't have to think about. This is an opportunity for Maine to showcase a state-of-the-art green mine consistent with the most stringent mining regulations in the country, if not North America. There would be no prejudice in suspending review because the adjudicatory process hasn't started. There aren't interveners. There's no pre-filed testimony. There's no hearing. So there's no question about the ability of the commission to comply with regulatory deadlines. And at the end of the day, we come back with something that is responsive to the issues that staff has raised. And then I guess the other issue raised by staff was a concern about the record. I agree, this record is a complicated, messy record. If we came back with a new petition with a new ZP number, I am quite confident that others would introduce this material into that record. So I think we are stuck with this record, regardless of what path we take going forward. So, you know, as I said, I just don't think it would be that productive to get into a back and forth, but I would like to assure the commission that the petitioner has in good faith at considerable time and expense undertaken to respond to the issues that have been raised. And I really would be disappointed for anybody to think that the petitioner has just said, no, we're not providing this information. There's clearly a difference of opinion on that. But we do feel like we've been responsive and would like an opportunity in fairness. And, you know, this is a project that has local and regional support. And I think we deserve and the public deserves an opportunity to have us move forward. I'm happy to answer any questions. And I should have said at the outset, with me here today is Ron Little, the president, and Jeremy Willett, vice president for project development for Wolfden.
From what you've said, it almost sounds like you're going to hire a competent firm to put together a new proposal or a more detailed proposal or a proposal that addresses the staff's concerns. One possibility, as you know, we have a vote, we have a move and second on the floor to deny this petition. One possibility is if you withdrew the petition before we take a vote, you have the opportunity to start over with a clean slate. You certainly can use a lot of the work that's gone on for the last 18 months, and that would be helpful. But the new record wouldn't contain all of the things you're concerned about either. So it's something to think about. But if we take this vote, that opportunity goes off the table.
I guess I have a question on why the opportunity. Well, let me just say, if we were to withdraw versus have the commission suspend continued review of the application, I think when we come back with a new proposal, I think the end result is the same. The reason we would prefer to suspend review is because it more aligns with where the company and the project are, which is the company is committed to the state, is committed to the project, is not abandoning the project. And I think it sends a certain message when you withdraw that maybe you're not committed to the project or the state. So that is the reason that we would prefer to suspend review.
Gwen?
Yes. I think, Attorney Brown, you've said that if we suspend review, you would come back with something that would be fully responsive. I think you should understand that the frustration the staff has had with their attempt to get information and things that they feel is missing to this point. And so it's unclear, why should we all be comfortable that you're going to come back with, as far as we know, the same people, the same team, and have all of a sudden everything is responsive? We need a little reassurance there.
Yep, I think that's a fair question. We're talking about expanding the team, including the team that would draft the petition. And we have heard loud and clear the staff's frustration, and I'm confident that we can come back with a responsive document with the assistance of additional, as I said, Maine-based consultants that are more familiar with the commission rezoning process. And in all fairness, this is a unique process. The DPD process before the commission is unique. doing it in the context of the first mining project proposed in the state, as I said, creates additional challenges. And then the sort of tension between not having gone through the baseline surveys of Chapter 200 at the same time we're trying to do the rezoning process creates an additional layer of challenge. And, you know, I think I think the petitioner fully understands the expectations of staff and believes that with this additional work, which they're proposing to do, that we can be fully responsive.
Gwen? Turn your mic on. There you go.
Yeah, there we go. So, you know, so if you're going to do a reset and you're going to, like, start all over again, it seems to me that doing a reset, like, it's going to become very confusing and that it would be much clearer to actually... you know, we deny this or you make a decision, the applicant makes a decision to withdraw before we deny it, which I can understand, and just start over again to continue on. And what do we do? Is the staff supposed to throw everything out that they've all the work that they've already done? I mean, I don't see how that is going to be helpful. And I guess I'd like to hear Stacy's response to the reset, if she wouldn't mind, and how she sees that as complicating things.
Sure. And what I see for a difference and putting it the hold versus ending the process is the fact that we have this large growing record for this project that will all become part of the hearing record and all become part of the court record eventually. And it's confusing for people to try to understand the four different versions and all of the additional information. But I think another piece of our argument is we think that if we were to review a new petition from Wolfden, it would be beneficial for us to have that under the new Chapter 4 rules that become effective on November 1st. And the reason for that is the standard for completeness is higher. And so we would be in a position if the petition is deficient of being able to just return it and end the clock for us under the new rules. Right now, our standard for completeness is really low, and we were forced to accept it as complete for processing, even though we felt that there were still deficiencies there that needed attention. So under the new, if we end this process now, a petition comes back to us under the new Chapter 4 rules, that completeness standard is higher, and you know we would be more efficient in managing the petition because we would be able to would just send it back if it comes in as a deficient petition.
Could I just respond to that point?
Sure.
So and maybe Lauren or Caleb could weigh in, but the new standard for completeness would apply at the time of the amended petition because it's a substantial change, and the rules in effect at that time would apply.
Yeah, I disagree. The rules that apply are the rules in effect at the time that an application is accepted as complete for processing, and it's been accepted as complete for processing.
But there would be a new determination at the time. Well, I mean, maybe the AG's office could weigh in on that.
Lauren, you or Caleb want to take a stab at this?
I think my understanding is that would, if it's treated as an amended petition, it would depend on what the new rules have to say about how amendments are treated. I haven't reviewed that section of the new rules. It wouldn't be a new petition if it's put on hold and then a subsequent petition is brought in. So I think it would depend on how the rules treat amended or modified petitions at the time that it's filed.
Lee?
Yes, and Ms. Brown, I have been a regulator and I have worked for companies looking for regulatory approval. And to my mind, it would be so much cleaner for all of us for you to withdraw this and come back with a package that is complete and consistent everywhere rather than us having to have this extensive long record. In addition, I mean, it sounds like your major reason for not withdrawing is that you feel that people would interpret you as walking away from the state. I mean, that's what your Wolfton's public relations people are for, is to say, this is why we're withdrawing it and we're really going to do a better job. That's just my recommendation. If it comes to it based on this record, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but I think I would have to support the staff. Thank you.
I guess just one other thing I just wanted to mention too, because I think it is important for the commission, whether we withdraw, whether there were a suspension, regardless, that Wolfton is committed to the state. But I do think it's important just to sort of provide some color on the reasonable difference of opinion on whether what we've provided to date meets the applicable review criteria. The commission did use two outside consultants who reviewed it on key issues and felt that in those areas it was consistent with the review criteria for rezoning. I don't raise that to get into an argument of whether it is or isn't, but I think it helps demonstrate that this is a tricky area. It is not black and white. It is not clear what level of detail is required for the rezoning. We certainly, you know, based on staff's feedback and what we've heard from the commission, I think it's much clearer to us what level of detail is required for rezoning. But I just think wherever we end up, it's really important for the commission to understand that reasonable experts have disagreed about what level of detail is required and whether the material submitted to date is responsive. I guess I have. Are there any other questions for me?
We're not taking questions from the audience. So, Attorney Brown, I think we need to hear a decision. You want us to proceed with the vote, or you want to withdraw the application and put in a new clean one?
I think at this point, like any good lawyer, I'm going to dodge it and ask my client, who is here today, to make that call.
I think that's
call.
A good idea.
So, Ron, if you are here and available, I think it would be great for you to weigh in.
Ron, go ahead. Make sure your mic's on. He has his hand up, but he's not responsive.
I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Commissioner, and thank you to all commissioners and the staff. As Juliet said, we've really appreciated the time that the staff has put in. And as Juliet said, we're a bit surprised at where we are today, because especially in the last 6 months since the February request for more information, we have been working hand in hand with LUPC and with DEP's involvement, which was even more appreciated because of the dual path that this project has to follow. So, you know, I would only highlight, as Juliet has said, we've continued to provide more information. This has not just been about correcting, it's been supplying a wealth of information that is not typical in mining at an early preliminary design. This normally comes when you're doing a full feasibility. So this is a unique jurisdiction. Worldwide, you do a full feasibility and all the studies before you apply for anything. And that's really kind of why we are where we are. We're, you know, because we're new to Maine and this is a new mining law, we were hoping to get the approval of the rezoning as a comfort level in order to spend another $10 to $15 million on the full feasibility. So, you know, as a reminder, as Julie said, we've invested over $15 million into Maine so far. And really in the last, over this application, we're up to about $1 million now on expenditures. So that to me qualifies the amount of effort we've been putting into this application. It, you know, I would love to see a show of hands to see where we stand. But obviously, if we're forced here to make a decision of having a denial or a withdrawal, we will vote to withdraw. And, you know, I'll reassure you that we're not going away. We will have to explain to our shareholders, as a commissioner has suggested, that, you know, this is going to take more time and more expense. The project is by far the greenest design worldwide, and it would be a shame for Maine to set the bar so high, and then with a project like this that meets the bar, when the critical metals like this are needed, you know, this is a project that every environmentalist should be endorsing, because there's no other green way to get the metals for every laptop that we're looking at right now and to power the grid. So this is a huge opportunity, not just for us, but for all the stakeholders in Maine, and to really show the world this is a showcase operation. So we'll withdraw. We are already working on study aspects that have been requested. And as Juliet said, we're looking at alternatives, and we will come back with another application that we think will try to simplify or make it easier to get through this two-stage process.
We appreciate that. I do think getting rid of the voluminous record and starting over, you can use what's in it that's advantageous for you, and you can forget what isn't. So you have an opportunity to rewrite the slate, and I would think the 18 months that you and our staff have spent wasn't wasted. I think both sides have learned a lot. So let's hope your new advisors do a thorough job in giving us the best petition possible. You know what we're looking for. It's just a matter of providing it. I don't remember who made the motion to approve the staff's.
Jim May did.
Jim?
Seconded.
Jim, would you want to continue? You want to withdraw that motion?
Well, we've heard that they're going to withdraw the petition, so I assume that in fact will happen. Based on that, I will withdraw my motion.
Thank you. Who seconded it? Millard, you withdraw your second?
Yes.
I thank you, people. We really believe this path is going to be much better for you and for us. And you don't have a denial on the table, which I think you are likely to have gotten. Gwen?
Is there anything that, and I'm looking to our legal counsel for this, anything that we should do? Or do we accept a denial through a vote, or is it satisfactory the way it stands? I'm not a denial, I'm sorry. Except the fact that they're retracting or taking back their application.
Withdrawing,
thank you.
We can certainly follow up with a letter to that effect, which I think would be cleaner for the record.
That would be helpful, Juliet.
Thank you.
Okay.
Lauren, you want to step in, or are we all set?
No, we're all set. I was just hoping that Wolfden would offer, and they have, to follow up in writing. So thank you for that.
Lee?
I just wanted to say to the company that their own lawyer pointed out early on that one of our big concerns is that we don't know if the final design will come back to us. And we're not trying to give you a hard time. We're trying to have something that we can review and be comfortable with. It sounds like we're heading in that direction. Thank you.
If there are no more comments, I'm going to call an end to this discussion. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Everyone. Appreciate it.